The sermon for today is the rock that followed them. Please open your Bible to the first epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. How did the Apostle Paul arrive at this chapter? It was not known. Paul laid down the principle in chapter 8, verse 13. If meat made my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh. This principle of self-denial was repeated in chapter 9, where he stated, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," and thus he made the gospel available without charge. So please, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, under the cloud and through the sea. This is actually a reference to the Red Sea crossing of the children of Israel. And as you perhaps remember, the children of Israel had the personal protection from God for 40 years, from the time they left Egypt until the time they arrived in the land of Canaan. So we read in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. God himself was manifested as a cloudy pillar by day, or as a pillar of fire by night. So we read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And we read in Exodus 14, 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And so the children of Israel walked on dry ground. But when the army of the Egyptians tried to do the same, they all drowned in the Red Sea. Not one of them remained alive. Look at the sovereignty of God in action. God favored the nation of Israel, but God's wrath rested on the Egyptian. under the cloud. Under the cloud and through the sea. Please, open your Bible to Acts 1:11. Chapter 1, verse 11. Then the two angels who stood by said in Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Then we read that Christ's second coming is also with clouds. And so we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." It seems as if the clouds indicate his majesty when he comes as the judge of all the earth. And indeed, this is what we are witnessing when he returns. So God wrote in Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 16, "And I look and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, thrusting his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." This is Christ harvesting all the saints for himself, and simultaneously in the process of harvesting, he's judging the unsaved by leaving them on the earth. Even when Christ is not judging, we hear the Father speaking out of the cloud. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father spoke in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Christ comes with the clouds, and the Father spoke out of the cloud. Can we then say that the clouds of heaven represent the judgment throne of God? And indeed, that is so. Because we read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When the Lord Jesus stood for trial before the Sanhedrin, he said to the high priest in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And so, what does it mean that the children of Israel were under the clouds and through the sea? It means that they have been under the cloud. They have been under the judgment throne of Christ, and they have been judged already. Christ has taken all the guilt of all their sins upon himself. And now, in the person of Moses, he takes them through the Red Sea. And what is that a picture of? And through the sea. The Red Sea is a picture of hell. So look what it does. So please, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, verse 4. Exodus 14, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And watch now the great deliverance. Drop down to verse 21. Exodus 14, verses 21 through 23. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Not one of the Egyptian army stayed behind. So confident were they that they will have the victory. Let us now drop down to verse 26. Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 to 29. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overdrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left. This is actually a picture of the cross of Calvary. Moses is here a picture of Christ. Moses walked in front of the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Moses was their leader and their representative before God. And thus, Christ, represented by Moses, took all the guilt of their sins upon himself and endured the equivalent of an eternity in hell on the cross, which is pictured by Moses walking through the Red Sea, which represents hell. And he came out of hell at the other end. And the children of Israel walked upon dry ground. They did not suffer the torments of hell. They were delivered from their enemies and from the condemnation that must come upon all mankind. That is a picture of our deliverance by Christ, baptized into Moses. The question is often brought up, why introduce this parabolic level of meaning into this piece of history? And the answer is threefold. First, of all, when we develop the correct spiritual picture, we obtain a deeper insight into the words of the Scripture. We do not memorize little bits of history like loose sand, but we obtain a coherent whole with the rest of the Bible. And when the Holy Spirit, by grace, give us the interpretation of a historical event, it was God's pleasure to make the Bible come alive before our eyes. And it keeps us interested to know more of this spiritual application. Secondly, God gave us in Galatians 4, verses 21 through 31, an example of the spiritual application of Genesis 16 and also of Genesis 21 that is so awesome that I am continually amazed at the impact it had of my understanding of the covenant of grace and on the future of the nation of Israel. Thirdly, the Lord Jesus himself spoke in parables, and thus we can expect that many Old Testament passages are also historical parables, if we are willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Lord said in Mark chapter 4, verses 33 to 34, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." This is an amazing statement, and it tells us that there are many more spiritual applications that we have not yet discovered. But let us now get back to the storyline. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea," literally into Moses. What does God mean by that? It certainly cannot mean immersion in water, for neither the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, nor the walls of water of the Red Sea has touched the children of Israel during this crossing of the Red Sea. But the Lord Jesus has given us another meaning of the word baptism, and it's the word washing. So we read in Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Luke 12, 50. "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" The Lord is not referring to a second baptism by John the Baptist, but he's referring to a washing of sins, or a cleansing from sins he has to undergo when he will be crucified. So we should read in Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Luke 12, 50. "But I have a washing to be cleansed with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" On the cross, when he is enduring the equivalent of an eternity in hell, he will be cleansed from all our sins. Likewise, the children of Israel were all baptized unto Moses, meaning they were washed into Christ in the clouds, meaning they were judged by being in Christ when Christ was judged, and in the sea, meaning that they were in Christ and with Christ when Christ was enduring the payment of hell for them. So please, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, the spiritual meat. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. "And did all eat the same spiritual meat?" What is this spiritual food that God is talking about? It was the manna that dropped out of heaven 6 days per week for 40 years. And even though this manna was physical food for the children of Israel, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, the Lord called it a spiritual food. Please turn your Bible to John chapter 6, John 6, verses 27 through 35. And the word of God read like this: "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed them." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Please open your Bible to John chapter 6, verses 43 to 51. John 6, 43 to 51. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so, where can we find this spiritual food? We find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am that bread of life. But then the Lord also said in John 6:44, No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. But who are the ones whom the Father will draw to the Lord Jesus? So we read in John chapter 6, verse 37, where the Lord Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father has chosen unto salvation, all the elect, shall come to the Lord Jesus, because the Father draws them to Jesus. But why did the Lord Jesus say in verse 51, The bread that I will give is my flesh? Did the Lord encourage his disciple to commit cannibalism? We wonder. A stronger words yet did the Lord Jesus speak when he said in John chapter 6 verse 53, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, if we take this literally, then we have some clear contradictions in the Bible. On the one hand, the Lord said in John 6:44, salvation is totally free. For if you belong to those whom the Father has chosen, then salvation is a free gift. On the other hand, in John 6:53, the Lord told us a works gospel. He said, If you do not do this, if you do not labor to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life in you. And so, what really is going on? Obviously, the works gospel has to go. The Lord Jesus himself made this very clear. Please drop to John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. There the Lord Jesus said in clear terms, It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit and they are life. The words that Christ spoke are in the Bible. The entire Bible consists of words that Christ spoke. For he is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, and he is the one who spoke words to holy men of old, and they wrote these words in the Bible. Therefore, when we read and study the Bible, we are in fact eating of Christ and drinking his blood. When we have become saved, we have an urgent desire to read and study the Bible. For the Bible is called the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is also called the Word of God. This activity is not what saved us. But when we are saved, this is what we like to do. For this is one of those things that is pleasing in his sight. Can we now see how great and intense the sign is of the Roman Catholic Church to hide the Bible from their members, or to teach them that they should not read the Bible on their own? By this action, they have withheld salvation from millions of their members, and they have deliberately sent them to hell. For the Lord says in John 14:6, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How can they come to Jesus if they do not know him, or if they do not know what he has said? I speak by experience, for I have not even seen a Bible from the outside until I was 50 years old. It was then that the scale fell out of my eyes, and I could see clearly the evil intent of that organization. So let us return now to the first epistle to the Corinthians, the spiritual drink. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." What really was that spiritual drink? It was water out of a rock. Of course, this is impossible. You cannot get one drop of water out of a rock. Please turn in your Bible to the prophecy of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17, verse 4. The nation of Israel was encamped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And the people murmured against Moses, even though they had seen how God saved them from dying of thirst many times. They still believed that this time they were going to die of thirst. So we're reading Exodus chapter 17, verses 4 through 6. "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." In other words, Moses had a representative in Horeb. And when Moses struck the rock at Rephidim, the Lord struck the rock at Horeb. Water flowed out of the rock at Rephidim so that the people could drink. The reason why God made water flow out of the rock was that the rock represented Christ as the suffering servant of Jehovah. In this event, Moses was a picture of the law of God. The law of God struck Christ on the cross. But the result was that an abundant water of the gospel flowed out of Christ, since he was crucified in our place and our sins were forgiven. Please turn in your Bible to the prophecy of Numbers, Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. There was a second time that Moses struck the rock. and again water flowed out in abundance. This time the people were camped at Kadesh, and again there was no water for the congregation, and the people murmured against Moses and Aaron. So we read in Numbers 20, chapter 20, verses 7 to 11. Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 to 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rod. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. This time Moses was disobedient, and Moses struck the rock twice. But the word rock in both instances was not the same Hebrew word for rock. Yes, this rock was again representing the Lord Jesus Christ. But almost everything else in this event at Kadesh stands in sharp contrast to the previous event in Rephidim. First of all, this event at Kadesh occurred 40 years later. The children of Israel were nearing the end of their wilderness wanderings. The older generation that walked out of Egypt from 20 years and older had almost died. And a new generation is now striving against Moses and Aaron. This new generation is more rebellious than their fathers were. But there is more. In Numbers 20, God did not say that Moses was represented before the rock in Horeb. Moreover, the Hebrew word for rock is not the same word as that used in Exodus 17. The word for rock is a sharp rock having sharp edges, and it is used, for example, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, where Christ is spoken of as a stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense. On the other hand, the word for rock in Numbers 20 is a rock that is high and lofty, and it is a stronghold of Jehovah. Whereas the rock in Exodus 17 represents Christ as the crucified one. So in contrast, the rock in Numbers 20 represents Christ in his exalted state in heaven after his crucifixion. Therefore, in Numbers 20, verse 8, Moses was not commanded to strike the rock, but to speak to the rock, just like we are now commanded to pray to God. In Exodus 17, only the elders of Israel witnesses the smiting of the rock. Just like during and after the crucifixion of Christ, only his disciples were aware that their Lord and Savior had been smitten of God and afflicted for their transgression. But in Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, Moses was commanded to gather the assembly together, just like we are now commanded to gather the assembly together on Sundays and to pray to God. Therefore, what conclusion do we draw from these comparisons? The rock must not be smitten a second time. The rock may not be smitten because that would spoil the shadow of the cross that was given in Exodus 17. And God is very jealous of the various pictures of Christ's atonement that he has given us throughout the Bible. So God says in Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Romans 6, 9 through 10. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. The rock that followed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In other words, it was not a physical rock representing Christ that followed them, but it was Christ himself who followed them, and on two occasions Christ manifested himself as a rock. And thus, it is important to see that the exodus of the nation of Israel was a picture of what salvation is all about. It was just a picture. They were not all elect, because God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Likewise, the rock was a picture of Christ, who had to be smitten by the law of God, which was represented by Moses. The law of God inflicted judgment on the Lord Jesus. What did Moses have in his hand? Please turn back to Exodus chapter 17, verse 5. Exodus 17, verse 5. Where God commanded Moses, take in thy hand thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Which river? It was the Nile River. So we read in Exodus chapter 7, verse 20. Moses lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. What does blood signify? Blood is a sign of judgment. Christ, who was represented by the rock, had to be judged by the law of God. The smiting of the rock and refading in Exodus 17 was a picture of the atoning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what were the consequences of Moses smiting the rock at refading? Physically, water came out abundantly out of the rock at refading, but that was only a shadow of the spiritual water that came out of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of his crucifixion. What is that water a picture of? It is the water of the gospel, the words of God, who is able to transform a human soul unto salvation by the power of his Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Bible called this living water. The water that flowed from the rock in Rephidim was a picture of the gospel preached to all the Israel of God. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 4, we read that all did drink the same spiritual drink. Can you see that God puts us also to the test? Will we be faithfully compared a scripture with a scripture, so that we come to really understand God's word beyond the external historical framework of the Bible? It is so easy but so carnal to read the Bible as just a historical book, but then it is no longer different from any other book. And that is not why God wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible to bring us salvation, Therefore, salvation is the focus of all the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And when we think of Christ as a rock, think of it in this term. Number one, a rock is unmovable, and likewise, Christ as the Word of God is immutable. He does not change, and he cannot be changed. God does not change the words of the Bible, and man is not allowed to change it. And if we try to change it, the penalty of condemnation in hell is our reward, according to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. Number two, Christ is not Petrus, but Christ is Petra. We read, for example, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, Petrus, and upon this rock, Petra, pointed to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. The meaning of Petra can be seen in the land of the Moabites, and later it became the land of the Nabataeans, where an entire city has been carved out of a rock. That is the city of Petra. On the other hand, Petros means a stone, not a huge rock. And so, when we look at this sermon in perspective, we see that God says to us, I want that you should not be ignorant about this, brethren, that the children of Israel who came out of Egypt and who were endowed with many spiritual gifts committed idolatry in spite of all the things that they receive from God. And so, you should also be aware that you can commit idolatry as well. Make sure that you have your concepts of God and Christ correct according to the Bible. For there, in the concepts of God and of Christ, is your gravest danger of idolatry. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our merciful God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for giving us this, your church, where we can come and exalt and praise your name. We pray that you will let this church be a strong voice, crying in the wilderness of this world. We pray that you will help us to reach men in this world through the CD ministry and also through the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please let us sing hymn 396.